and I'm trying to do my best, ladies and gentlemen. I actually thought that I was a pretty good woman, a pretty good wife. Now, I knew I had my stuff, you know, and the way I talk and different things, but I am really learning what God considers to be an ideal woman. And it's not what the world thinks, and sadly, it's not what a lot of the church thinks. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Romans chapter 12. I think all of these I'm going to be reading in the Amplified Bible, so if you don't have an Amplified Bible, Beth will put it on the screen. You can read it from there. Verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Me and Scotty was talking about some of this stuff yesterday, and he told me, he said, you know you're swimming upstream, right? You're climbing uphill. And I said, I know it. But the thing about it is, that doesn't bother me at all. Because if we're going to change anything, we have to go upstream. Life gets hard. Things gets hard. You have to say things maybe that you don't necessarily want to say, or do things that you don't want to do. I'm sure probably everybody has noticed it, but it's been from the beginning, the destruction of the family. Whenever God created Adam and Eve in the garden, we know that Adam was created first, right? He was give him authority. Eve was created for Adam, right? Because he wasn't good that he should be alone. And we found out God's ideal woman is supposed to be a helper, right? Not a boss, not an instructor, not a mother, but she's a helper. But there in the beginning, God created first the family. Well, the earth and all that. Then he created the family. Well, the first thing the devil comes in there and does is he disrupts and distorts the family. Whenever Adam... Right? Eve ate it first, but the Bible says she was deceived. Nothing happened until he ate it. Why? Because he was the one that had the authority. Therefore, he was the one that had the most responsibility. We talked about how when God came after all of that, and he in the cool of the day, and he asked him, so, Adam, where are you? He never said, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? Why? Because if you have great authority, you are the one that has the greater responsibility. Right? That's just the way it is. Parents have the responsibility for their children. Why? They have authority over their children. So what he's looking for is the destruction of the family. He comes in, he gets the husband and the wife not in their proper place. Well, then the next thing that happens, they have children. And what happens after that? Cain kills Abel. Right? So what is that? Why didn't he come to Adam before Eve ever got there? There was no family. So what we're seeing today, the results of this world that we're living in, is this destruction that he has done in the family. And what God is doing, God is coming back and setting his family in his order, right? So that's what we're trying to do here. So if you got your Bible, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Because see, a lot of people think the president is going to come in and change the world. No, he's not. He can only do so much. Even if he is the one that God has anointed and appointed, he can only go so far. If we want to change the way that things are, the way the culture is, the way things are run, then we have to change the family, because that's where it starts. One of the things that they have done is they have dulled the man down to where now he's very feminine. He's no longer a man. He no longer does... Now, this is... I'm not saying everybody. He comes in and he gets the man to doing what? Not what his role is to do. Why? Because we said the man is the one he has the responsibility, right? The number one things for men is respect, honor, and loyalty. The women's is not like that. Our number one thing is love. Well, scripturally, Christ says, the Bible says that Christ, men are supposed to love their wives. How? As Christ loved the church. He doesn't dominate her. And guys, one of the reasons why a lot of women, when they cringe, when they hear the word submission, is because we have not seen that done right. Some have. I'm not saying all. But a lot of times it is the man saying, I'm the head of this household in a dominant way, and you're going to do what I say. Well, most women, not all, but a lot of women, the first thing they think when they hear that, who do you think you are? You're not my daddy. You don't tell me what to do. Then here goes the whole scenario. But then you've got women in here now that they're not women of God, even though they may be born again. They're not acting. They don't talk like women of God do. They don't do the things that women... A lot of women... We're going to have to go there, I guess. A lot of women, they rely on their sexuality and the way they look. And they think a man thinks that's a lot. And it is. But how many knows when you become a wife... You better have some skill. Because you know what? Every female has that. So once you become a wife or become wife material, that's not what you rely on. That doesn't make you a woman. In case y'all haven't noticed, there's a big thing in the earth today, or especially in the United States and our culture, the definition, what is a woman? And we're going to find that out, because it's not putting on makeup, it's not putting on a dress, and it's not having female parts. I'm trying to choose my words wisely. So let's look here at this. Get over there. First Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 7, and then we'll come back and break this down. It says, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they're unbelievers. Did y'all notice that? They don't obey the word of God. But notice what it says, God's ideal woman. It says... So that even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussion, but by the godly lives of the wives, of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him that reverence includes to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Let not yours be the merely the external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. For it was thus that the pious women of old, who hoped in God, were accustomed to beautify themselves, and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, leader, authority, and you are now her true daughters if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you. In the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives and an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace of God, God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off, otherwise you cannot pray effectively. I'm going to tell you, I really don't like it when I have to tell y'all my business. But you know what? A lot of times God makes me, because I'm not the only one. So I'm going to tell you how all this started. I don't know, probably 2-3 months ago, somewhere around in there, I guess. Now, I have always loved my husband. We really used to enjoy each other, you know. I mean, we was kind of like Johnny and Samantha. We would be together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, all the time, and doing this, that, and other, and all of that. But I guess for the last few years, I have not enjoyed him. And I found in here, I'm supposed to enjoy him. We just read it. I didn't realize that said that. So how this all started was I started praying and I was telling God, God, you're going to have to do something. I love him, but I don't enjoy him. I want to be around him, but when I'm around him, it's just like it's not good. And I don't have a clue, Samantha, what the problem is. I honestly do not have a clue. And how many knows? God knows your heart. He knows what your thoughts from afar. He knows why you are the way you are. He knows what you know, all that stuff. So anyway, I'm praying that and I'm telling God, God, you're going to have to do something. I love him, but I don't enjoy him and I want to enjoy him. And I told him probably a couple of months ago, I said, I don't enjoy you, but I want to enjoy you. I want you to enjoy me. How many knows two people can live in a house, you can be married, but there is no enjoyment in being with the other person. And that's not God's kind of blessed marriage. So, lo and behold, how many knows God always answers, but it's usually not the way you want it? So, I guess probably now, maybe a month or a little bit longer, I told y'all the story that just out of the blue seemed like to me, God said, I need you to be more feminine. When I heard that, I thought, oh man, I got to wear a dress and high heels. I do not wear high heels. Aubrey wears high heels better than I do. If you get above a quarter of an inch, I can't walk. So I'm thinking, I got to wear these high heels. I got to do my hair, you know. I got to wear this gob of makeup and dresses and all. Why? Because the world has a way, what they call feminine. God's way is not the world's way of femininity. You put on a dress doesn't make you feminine. A dog can wear a dress. Right? Anybody, anything can put on a dress or makeup. All that stuff is not what makes you feminine. So I had no clue what God was talking about. Well, probably 2 or 3 days after this, that God told me I need you to be more feminine, me and Scotty had an argument. And of course, after he goes to bed, that's when I do my praying, you know, about our situations, which is really most time probably not praying. I'm just telling God how I feel, what I think, all this stuff, you know. And this is what he said to me. He said, Teresa, it's your dog, or didn't say Teresa. He said, it's your dogged determination. And I thought, dogged? Why would you say that? Why would you use that word? Well, we're going to get into what he's talking about here. And this is in here. So lo and behold, here we go on this journey of me to enjoy my husband and find out what true femininity that God sees it is in God's ideal woman. So let's go back to this. He says, in like manner, you married women. Listen, this is not just for married women either. If you ever want to be married, or if you want to be God's ideal woman, you must have these characteristics. He says, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, we've been over what submission is. Submission is not I agree with you. Agreement is agreement. Submission is I come under your authority. I yield my will to your will because you are the authority over me. Right? It says, be submissive to your own husbands. And that made me think of Travis was out at my house the other day, and I said something, and he told me to do something. I said, who are you? I said, I don't recognize your voice. I don't recognize your authority over me. Why? It says, to my own husbands. Right? It says, goes on, and he says, subordinate yourselves as being secondary and dependent upon on them. Now, we went over that secondary, you place yourself under. Listen, ladies, we're really going to have to lay down a lot of pride. I know for me, maybe you got all this stuff worked out. But for me, to say I'm secondary to him, in my mind and in the world's culture and the way they talk and say things and everything, that's not good. We're supposed to be equal. But we've done found out there's no way we can be equal. Why? Because God is the Christ. I mean, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. And the parents are the heads of the children, right? So that's the way you have to keep it. And he says, being secondary to and dependent on them. This is a big one. A lot of ladies today, married and not married, they are either those that are looking to be married. A lot of times, if they don't have this and they've not been taught or whatever, they're looking for somebody to take care of them. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Pay their bills, take good care of them while they run off with their girlfriends or whatever it is that they do and have no responsibility. Then on the other hand, you've got this other kind of woman that she's what they call a boss babe. Y'all ever heard that? No? Yeah, some of y'all have some. What that kind of woman is, she is a very independent woman. She's got her ducks in a row. She's got a job. She's got a place to live. She's got her own car. She's got her own money. And she don't need no man for nothing. Let me bring this up real quick because I've seen this happen before. It's not my job to tell you wives whether you're supposed to work or not. You understand? That's not my job. Now, I will tell you, though, according to Scripture, you can go read it in Proverbs 31. If you cannot work a job and take care of your man and your house and your kids, the things that's your responsibility, then you should not be working. Because when you go and you read Proverbs 31, that woman, she's a working woman. She's got a husband. She's got children. She gets up early. She gets spiritual food for her family, it says. But it also says she considers whether or not to buy a field before she buys it, bringing on herself more responsibility. In other words, can she still do everything she's supposed to do in line with God's will and do this job and buy another field? So do y'all understand what I'm saying about that? That's not my job to tell you whether you're supposed to. That's God's job and your husband and all of that. But what I have seen a lot of times that, say you work and your husband don't, say you can't work. That does not make you the head of that house. Does not. Now, I know a lot of times if the man won't because he's a bum and he's not really a man, men, that causes us to become more masculine in case you didn't notice. Why? Because when you're not doing your job, kids still got to eat. Somebody's got to step up and take the responsibility. So any place y'all don't take y'all's responsibility as a man before the Lord, we have to step up and do certain things that is not our responsibility, that is not our job. So then we'll become a lot more masculine than what we would be if y'all did y'all's job. See, if y'all do y'all's job right, we can be very feminine. Very feminine. And just because you make more, both of y'all work or he don't work, just because you're the one that maybe makes more money, you make more money than your husband, does not make you the head of that house. There's nothing that changes the placement that God has placed, right? So don't ever do that. It gets you out of order, and any place you're out of order, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be the full potential of blessing God wants. He says, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, notice this, they may be won over, not by discussion, not by you keeping on hounding them, not by the little scriptures that you put in their lunchbox every day, not by you just nagging them about going to church. It says, but by the godly lives of their wives. He goes on and he says, when they observe, and if they're going to observe something, means you got to be doing something. He says, when they observe the pure and modest. Now, we got on last week a lot about dressing. That's not my opinion of how you should dress, right? He says here, pure and modest. If your cheeks is hanging out, you're not being pure and modest. I'm sorry, you're just not, according to God's standard. I didn't write it. It says, way in which you conduct yourselves. It says, together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes. It says to respect. What I find, and I have done also myself, it's not a good thing. Men don't like it when they feel disrespected. Even if you didn't mean it disrespectfully. And I have come to learn, the way you talk to them can be very disrespectful. And I didn't realize the way I was talking to my husband and I'm not calling out his name, or it's just the way you talk sometimes. And I had to learn this. People's been telling me for years, why do you talk like that? Why do you act like that? Why do you do that? Scotty would ask, why you talk like that? And I'm like, talk like what? What's your problem? Life's hard. Get over it. Suck it up, buttercup. Now, I have lived most of my life that way. See, Scotty did not used to be the man that he is today. If you've been born again, none of us are. We've all been changed to a certain degree. But he did not take responsibility. He did not pay bills. He could walk around and have $1,000 in his billfold, if he ever had any money, and let him cut the water off. How many knows? That's not a man. That's not a godly man. You're not taking care of your family. So then I would have to do whatever I had to do. And then we was both out of order. So what God has been doing for all these years is bringing us back into order. But I come to realize when God started dealing, you can't show somebody something. You can't give somebody a revelation. I don't care how many. I don't care if you tell them every single day what they need to be doing. You can't make them see it. That's why it's called revelation. But what we have learned is the more willing my heart is, the more I can see and hear. See, for years, evidently, I was willing only to agree. Kind of like Scotty, you know, y'all have heard the testimony whenever he read the Bible, and he read that in there. It says, love your enemies. He shut the Bible. He said, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. He's unwilling. So therefore, he cannot hear and see how to do that, or hear and see how that's going to bring freedom to my life and to his life. But he got a willing heart, and he opened it back up, and he said, okay, God. And then God began to teach him how to love your enemies. And it brought freedom to him, to where he was no longer in bondage to hate or fear or anything like that. So, listen, you can't disrespect a man into becoming respectable. That's the way a lot of us women think. I'm just telling you guys. A lot of us women think if we keep telling you and keep telling you and keep telling you the things that you should be doing and all this, we're thinking one day you're going to get it. Ladies, do we not think like that? It's right the opposite. If you do not have what you consider to be a respectable man, your disrespecting him is not going to make him become respectful or respectable. But when you talk to him respectfully, when you treat him respectfully. See, all of this takes God, and it takes faith, and it takes trust on everybody's part. You can't leave any of that out. And the Bible says God calls those things that be not how? Like they are? As though they were. In other words, he says what you are and backs it all the way up and then starts, and then here we go. Well, just like for a woman, you can't keep respecting that man if you want disrespecting him, if you want him to be the respectful man God has called him to be. You got to call him what he's... Oh, we don't like to do that one. Why? I see the way you are. I hear the way you are. I feel the way that you are. So everything that's coming at me out of you is not respectful. But so I have to use faith and trust in God, right, to call him and treat him respectfully if he's ever going to become the man that God has fully called him to be as a husband. See, I said last week, and I don't think a lot of y'all got it, I said husbands, wives are your projects. I could say that a different way and say, I've said before, you know, you are the biggest investment you could ever make. As a man, you are the biggest investment you could ever make. But after that, your biggest investment is in your wife and your children. Why? They are your project. You are the one that is going to help them become all that God has called them to be. Right? All right, let's look on here. So number one, God's ideal woman treats a man with what? Oh gosh, that was not good at all. We just went through that whole nearly 10 minutes of that. God's, well, this is what we're looking for, people. God's ideal woman. Not your ideal woman. Not my ideal woman. Not the world's. God's ideal woman. So if this is what the Bible says, guess what? If I'm going to ever be it, then I got to do it. I don't care what you look like right now. It don't matter. Everything is changeable if you're willing. And he says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of them. Listen to me, guys. I have found out, I did not know this, because this submission thing for me has always been a problem. But I found out, if I change, he changes. And if he changes, it makes me want to. See, a lot of men have tried to use that forceful, dominating. God's not forceful and dominating. Christ is not forceful and dominating with the church. What? He's very loving. Now, he ain't no simp. Y'all hear me? He ain't one of them. You don't play him. You don't do what you want. He tells you something, and that's the end of it. But he don't beat you into submission or anything else. You always got a free choice. But guys, the way you treat us can cause us to either rebel against that or us embrace it, and it'll bring freedom to the whole family. So, number one thing, God's ideal woman, after she puts God first, is what? She respects her husband. She treats him with respect. Or all men, so to speak. No man wants you disrespecting him. No man likes that. He goes on and he says, defer to him. He says, revere him. It says, to honor him. Now, I looked up some of these words. Gosh, I'm going to have to do this quick. Revere means to honor. It's got honor and respect in it. What was that next one? Let's see. Honor means to appreciate, to value. So God's ideal woman, she values her husband. A lot of what you have today, and I missed an opportunity with Aubrey back last summer. Don't ever tell your kids, your daughters, you don't need a man. That's not so. What you're doing is instilling in their way of thinking, and we're supposed to be different, right? Renew our mind to the way God thinks, not the way the world thinks. Well, a lot of the world and a lot of even Christian people are telling their daughters, you don't need a man. Baby, you can do everything that a man can do. No, you cannot. And a lot of people today will say, well, the only thing that women can do that I can't do is have a baby. No, there's a lot. Who built these roads out here? Women? Are y'all serious? Maybe they was one out there with a stop sign. I don't know. She could have been, but the majority of the infrastructure in this country has been built by who? They're built for that stuff. God made them that way. They're usually bigger. They're usually stronger, right? They're built for that stuff. So your husband, do you value your husband? Maybe he doesn't seem to be worth much value. But do you understand, by faith and being obedient to the Word of God, that man become, why? God said he's worth value. And I'm supposed to treat him like he's valuable, and you don't treat somebody like they're valuable and say, I can do without you. I can bring in my own bacon. You know, I can fry it up in my own pan. I can do what I want to. Listen to me. And a lot of women, my goodness, a lot of women nowadays, the only reason why a lot of them work is they want she money. Because y'all know what that is. Them feminists, they'll cry out for equal rights. But they don't want this one equal. This is the way they say it. My money, I work, I make my own money. That's my money. I do what I want to with it, when I want to with it. And your money is our money. How is that equal? I thought you wanted equal rights. See, that kind of thinking don't even make sense if you actually sit down and think about it. Why? Because once you come into all money is everybody's money. Why? When God entered into a covenant with you through Jesus Christ, what did he give you? What's the Bible say? The Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with who? Everything God has given to him is given to me and you when we're born again, right? We are in a covenant. And Scotty gives me money. And I think it's a good thing. If you can, husbands, give your wives money if they don't work or whatever. Why? Because we like that. We like to be able to buy a pair of shoes if we want to, or a shirt, or maybe buy you something, or just, you know, it just feels good. We just like it. And if you don't, well, that's y'all's business or whatever. But anyway, he gives me money, and he tells me, whatever I pay our insurance out of it, he tells me to do. He says, whatever else you want to do what you want to with it. Well, so that's what I do. A lot of it, I try to save it. Now, whenever he bought that land over there and he bought them cows, you know, and all that, well, he liked $2,000 having enough money to get all the cows, I reckon, that he wanted or whatever at the time. Well, he's spent all his money now. So he's just telling me about it. Well, I go in there in my money and I count him out $2,000 and I bring it out there and I give it to him. Why? That money is still just as much his money as it is my money. And if he needs it, guess what? Or wants it, he gets it. If I need some of his or something, I get it, right? It's a covenant. This is not a partnership where a lot of people, the world will say it's 50-50. No, it's not. Nowhere in there. A covenant is not 50-50. God is supposed to give everything of us, right? We just got through reading it in Romans 12:1. Present your body, your entire, everything you are to God. And then God gives us everything that he is. That's how a marriage is supposed to be. So let's go on here. I can say right now I'm not going to have enough time for all this. But anyway, he goes on and he says, revere him, to honor him. That means treat him with value. You value your husband. It says esteem, appreciate. How many, especially those women that do not work, how often do you tell your husband, I appreciate you getting up and going to work for us? Let me tell you something, ladies, in case you don't know this, life's hard for a man. Really is. You don't get to cry when you want to. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all ought to be cheering, guys. I'm helping your woman. You don't get to cry anytime. A woman, you can cry anytime you want to. And a lot of people say, oh, baby, it's going to be okay. You let a man cry for any time he wants to, we're going to send you somewhere because you need some help. That's okay. I'm going upstream. It's all right. You can't cry anytime you... Men can't quit. They cannot quit. Why? You got all these people relying on you. Your wife, your children, if you've got children. And even if you don't have them yet and you want them one day, guess what you need to be doing, men? Building. Making yourself the kind of man that God says that you're supposed to be, and then having something whenever that woman comes along that you want to marry. Why? Ain't no woman want to live in no cardboard box. Nah, I did. But you got to remember, I'm 14 years old and I am in love. And all, I don't care about eating. I don't care about what we're going to drink. I don't care about what we're going to wear. I don't care where we live. That is because I am a child. I'm not a grown woman, not physically or even mentally. So we can live in a cardboard box as long as we're together. But when you get a real woman, she don't want to live in no cardboard box. No. So men can't ever quit. They can't just cry anytime they want to. Life is hard for a man. They sick, they still got to get up and they got to go to work. A lot of us women, if we are at home and we don't have a physical job outside the home, now a lot of times you work at home, you do more work than what you will outside of the home. But if you don't work and all, if you don't feel good, maybe you can lay on the couch for a few hours before you go put another load of clothes in. Y'all not saying nothing. Men can't do that. No. You got to get up when it's cold. You got to get up when it's hot. You got to go do what you got to do, whether you feel good or whether you don't. Why? That's what men do. I told you I missed the opportunity with Aubrey last year because I had a lot of wrong thinking. And when you have wrong thinking, you got a lot of wrong believing. Therefore, you got a lot of wrong talking and you got a lot of wrong doing. You believe right, you'll talk right, you'll do right because you see right. Anyway, Aubrey, she wanted to play baseball. She don't like it when I talk about her, but it's good, baby. She wanted to play baseball. I said, baby, girls don't play baseball. They play softball. No, I want to play baseball. I said, girls don't play baseball. They play softball. Now, here we go into this women and men sports thing today, right? And I told her, I said, girls don't play baseball, they play softball. I said, it's a little bit bigger ball and it's softer, you know, that's what's... Well, girls can do everything boys can do, can't they? Where'd she get that? She's 8. And I had it too and didn't realize it. Because I said, well, yeah, they can, but girls just normally don't play baseball. I should have said, no, baby, that's not true. Girls can't do everything boys can. Girls are not supposed to be in competition with boys. Do you understand? We're supposed to complement each other, not be in competition. Guys can be in competition with other guys. Girls can be in competition with other girls. But the husband and the wife is never supposed to be a competition. It's supposed to be a complement. So I missed it with her. Well, then I thought, okay, I'm going to get this stuff right. Why? Because it's my job. I'm a grandmother, and I have my grandkids a lot. I have them every Tuesday. I take them to school 5 days a week if they go to school all week or whatever. I see them most of the time on the weekend. So I have a lot of influence in their life. And we'll see later on that it's supposed to be the older women that's doing what? Teaching the younger. We've had a problem and failed and not did that like we should. Or the families would not be the way that they should. Right? So the other day we was watching, because I think about this stuff day and night. We was watching something, and Aiden, this guy, he was climbed a tree, and he's got a saw, and he's cutting the top out of the tree or whatever. And Aiden, he's like, wow, look at that. Look what he's doing. He's cutting that tree down with that thing. And I said, Aiden, I said, he's cutting the tree down with a saw. I said, that's what men do. He said, that's what men do? Can you see the opportunity for that moment? That's what men do. And he said, that's what men do? Like a question. I said, yep. I said, that's what men do. Now, am I saying a woman can't do that? Yeah, some of them, they possibly can. But that's not the majority to the rule. There's always a general, and then there's always a difference, right? Y'all understand what I'm telling you? So take every opportunity. Don't think if you're not married, this don't apply to you. If you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, if you potentially want to be married, if you've got young co-workers, right? If you are the older, teach the younger. They don't know this. Now, I don't blame my parents or grandparents or anybody why I don't know this. I didn't give them very much time to teach me much of anything before I split. You understand? I met Scotty at 13, wanted nothing to do with anything else. Half the time I'm skipping school, I'm running off with him. I mean, just he's it, you know. So then I marry him at 14. Hey, almost every life experience I have experienced with him. That's one reason why I tell him, if you don't like the way I am, maybe you should have raised me a little bit different. Now, I mean that as a joke. I used to mean it seriously. But I mean, pretty much, he taught me how to make biscuits. I didn't know how to make no biscuits. What are you kidding? I'm 14 years old. Now, Mama most of the time did the cooking and the washing clothes, and we did cleaning and different toting wood, different stuff like that. So he is the one that taught me how to make biscuits. He is the one that, not everything, but a lot of the things I learned to cook, I either learned it from him or I learned it from my granny. Because I would go to her and I would ask her, how do you make vegetable soup? How do you make chicken and dumplings? How do you make potato salad? So then she would teach me, you know. So I don't blame them. But at the same time, if you are a woman, that is your greatest assignment. Men, your wife, and your children is your greatest assignment. It's not ministry. It's family, then ministry. You understand what I'm telling you? The family was first, and you do your first ministering in your family. So your wife is your assignment, and parents, your children, is your assignments. And we're going to be held accountable for everything we taught them and everything we did not teach them. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not always their fault because they didn't know. And you know what? I think that was one of the things that I hear that they say a lot of guys like this. For women to be agreeable with them. And the other day I was just thinking about it when we was younger and all that stuff and thinking about our life and everything. And I thought about it and I thought, I was so agreeable to him. Whatever he said, Johnny, I just did it. Where the conflict would come in and I would leave him a lot of times because if I ever didn't, then here we go. Because then now he's going to try to make me and here we go and that's not going to work good. And then I leave and then I come back, you know, when I get mad or whatever. But I was very agreeable with him. We would do all kinds of things together. I'm going to tell you something quick because I'm not going to have time to do all this. And I only tell you this for your benefit. And so if you are in this place, how to get out. And another way, how to not ever fall into this place. Because I did. And it almost destroyed us. But y'all know the story about Scotty bought that land over there on Page Springs Road, right? 40 acres for, I don't know, 12, 5, 13,000, whatever it was. Well, we had always, a lot of the time, been agreeable about major situations, you know, or what. This one we was not. Because I am so sick and tired of being in debt at this point, I can't take it. I just want out. I don't care if we don't even have anything, as long as I'm not in debt anymore. Well, we didn't have any money to buy the land full price at the time. And so when this come up and everything, I told him, I said, okay. I said, as long as we can get the land by faith, if God's saying it, surely we can get it by faith. And if we can't get it by faith, then we don't get it. He didn't say nothing, Johnny. And I was not observant. Women, we got to be very observant. When they get quiet, that means something. They're not liking what we're saying. They're not agreeing with something. You understand what I'm telling you? Anyway, to go on here. Well, lo and behold, he buys the land and he borrows the money from the bank to buy the land. The Bible says, and what is it, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? There's no greater prayer in the Bible than the prayer of agreement, especially between a husband and wife. I am not agreeable with him at this time, and we'll get on to it later, but I feel like I got to share this today. Well, number one, right off the bat, I told you before, that word adapt, where it says, wives, adapt yourselves to your husbands, that means women, we're the ones that change, not the men. And another thing that I have found out about that word adapt is I go with his vision. Listen to me real close. This will help you in your marriage, and if you're trying to determine whether or not to marry somebody. If you're not married to somebody and you're dating or whatever, that, do you understand dating is a prerequisite to marriage? That's the only reason you're supposed to do it. That really gets on my nerves when these kindergartens out here, they're fighting over these boys because they want to marry this one, they're in love. They don't even know what that is. But anyway, I don't need to get off of this. So anyway, I'm the one that's supposed to adapt. The Bible doesn't say for the man to adapt to the wife. So just like this, guys, because there's a lot of guys and even girls, if you're thinking about marrying somebody, you need to ask some questions. Ask them, how do you see yourself married? Because if you are a man that wants what is called a traditional woman, that's what the world calls it, a traditional woman, where she cooks, she cleans, she takes care of her man. There's way more to taking care of your man than just cooking and cleaning. And the other, there's way more than that. And she stays home, and she wants kids, and she wants to stay home and raise the kids and all of that. If that's what you're wanting, and that's what she says, that is a check mark for the yes. But if you ask a woman, and this is what she says, if that's your idea, you want a traditional woman, and she says, well, you know, I'm going after a career, you know, I want to be this and that and this and that, and it's not agreeable to you, and she's unwilling to change her vision, she's not the one. You're going to have trouble from the get-go. Why? You've got two visions. And she is unwilling to adapt herself to your vision. This is what happened to me when he bought that land over there. Number one, right off the bat, I am unagreeable. Men don't like it, ladies, and we should not do it when we question every decision that they make. Johnny ain't saying nothing. I know why, Johnny. It's okay. She don't need it, does she? She's a good woman. Well, so number one, right off the bat, I'm not in agreement with him. I am disagreeing with him. So number one, that starts right off the bat. We're in trouble. Then, lo and behold, he's got to have all this equipment over there. And I don't need no equipment, Johnny. I want out of debt. I want these bills paid. But no, he's got to have equipment for his vision. Then before you know it, I am alone from around 7 o'clock in the morning till 8, 9, and one time all night long. He's over there. I'm talking, this is going on nearly 7 days a week. He comes to the church and he preaches, does his duties and all that, and then he'll go over there. Let me tell you something, guys, women don't like that. Anytime you put something before us other than God, we don't like that at all. Why? Because you are supposed to love us. That's our thing. That's our love language. We got to have it. We need it to thrive and be all God's called us to be as a wife and all of that. I mean, the first year, he didn't get no card, no nothing for no anniversary. That hurt my feelings. He comes in, I give him a card, I got him, you know, and he's so tired. So he just reads it and goes and sits down. Now, I get to the point, and this goes on for, I don't know, a couple years, I guess. I get to the point to where I am absolutely thinking about having an affair. Listen to me, guys. Most women do not have an affair for the three-letter word. We'll put it that way. Trying to choose wisely. We have little kids. Y'all know what I'm saying, though. The majority of women do not have affairs for that reason. A lot of men do, but the majority of women do not have affairs for the three-letter word. The majority of women, they say, have affairs because they feel unloved and lonely. God, I figured y'all would get that way better than what you did. Because, see, I started telling him. I started trying to talk to him about it. And listen, we've talked about this, so I'm not saying nothing bad. I'm trying to help you. I'm talking to people all over the world. They're in all different kinds of situations. So I tried to tell him. I said, told him, you know, I'm not liking this, you know, you're spending too much time over there, you know. And any time I would try to talk to him about how I feel, because most time, guys, y'all tell us what y'all think, we tell y'all what we feel. We're different. So when I would try to tell him how I'm feeling and everything, he would tell, oh, Tracy, you're blessed. We're so blessed. Well, I agree with that. I am blessed. We are so blessed. But there's a problem. Pay attention, men, when we're trying to tell you things. We're trying to tell you there's a problem. So when you do like that and you talk to us like that, a lot of women take that as you're not validating me. How I feel doesn't matter. You don't care. Is there a woman in the house that's not what you think? There's not a hand up nowhere. I'm telling you, this is very important for you guys. Because when that woman starts telling you how she feels, there's a problem there and you need to fix it. Because if you don't get it fixed, guess what? The devil's already involved. And she may have an affair with a man. I thought about having an affair just because I'm lonely. I mean, I'm tired 7 days a week staying at the house from 7 o'clock nearly till 8 and 9 o'clock at night. And then he's so tired when he comes home. And see, it's his choice that he's not doing this as a job. But at the same time, he feels driven to do what he needs to do. And the Lord began to show me this and to help me with this. I began to resent him. And I began to resent that stupid land over there. That's what I thought about. Oh, when he come home, try to talk to me about his vision and track ran off the backhoe and this, that, and another, or the bulldozer, you know. And I crossed, and I'm thinking, I don't blanking care. I don't want to hear nothing about it. Why? Because I am so out of order. But I don't know I'm out of order, Johnny. Number one, I should have got with his vision. I'm supposed to adapt myself. Because see, ladies, what a lot of times you don't realize is for that husband to become the full potential of the husband that God has called him to be, we got to be his cheerleader. And I know y'all guys didn't say nothing. Y'all humble little things. Y'all just love it when we say, oh, baby, you are doing a good. Scotty likes it when you say, you the man. You the man, baby, you can do it. If there's a tree to be cut down, you can do it. If it's broke, you can fix it. You are the man. You can just see it. He goes, what was down here comes up here. They're made that way, ladies. They need it. The reason why they need it is because God made it. We complement one another. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So when a man doesn't have that, you got the devil screaming in his ear all the time, you can't do it, you're no good, you're nothing. So what is the wife? She's supposed to be like the cheerleader. And I found here, ladies, a lot of times we think we're the prize. This verse right here says the man is the prize. Are y'all kidding me? Not a one of y'all guys said amen to that? Are you scared? Scotty's like, nope. He likes taking this man stuff seriously. I've got to quit because my time is up. I have probably 6 months of this stuff, so we'll just have to see how much God wants y'all to have of it or whatever. But he really does. He likes it. Men like that. They have to have that. They have to have praise and what I would call cheerleading, you know, and all this. Because, see, you're putting into that man, and it brings out the qualities and the character that God wants him to have and you really want him to have. But a lot of times as us as women, we either don't know or we're just lazy and don't want to do it. Because what do? A lot of times, just keep telling them everything they did wrong. Just keep telling them you left them clothes in the floor. Why didn't you pick this up? Why did you do that? God himself doesn't explain to you every reason why he asked you or tells you to do something. And men don't like to explain that stuff every time either. And sometimes they don't even know their self. If God told them to do something, they may not even know why. They just do it. So I want to encourage you. I believe God's taking us all to a good place. Like I said, if you are not married and you want to be married, if you won't, you must first become wife or husband material before you get married or you're going to have trouble. Because after you get in there, it's a lot harder to get these things down. But I truly believe God's leading us and guiding us and going to help us, because he says when he comes back, what's he coming for? How is she going to get there? Ephesians 5:22, the marriage relationship mirrors Christ and the church, right? He's got to make glorious marriages. And glorious marriages, oh, they can be like heaven on earth. Amen? Any questions or anything before we close?